Today I want to share some thoughts with you concerning the name of Jesus. Our text will be taken from Philippians chapter 2. We'll begin reading with verse 5 and read through verse 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And notice the name of Jesus. Let this mind, Paul says, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of those in earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Paul said there that God has highly exalted Jesus and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things heavenly and earthly and in the nether world. So the name of Jesus is a majestic and powerful name. I'm not sure that it's just talking about the five-letter name J-E-S-U-S when he says that. The name Jesus is a beautiful name, all right. It means Jehovah saves, or Savior, or Deliverer, and that's very appropriate for his name because that's what he does. In Matthew 1:21, the angel announced at the birth of Jesus, or before that birth, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Of course, the name of Jesus is not an exclusive name, as we'll see in a moment. But you know, a lot of people in the world today, and I guess it's always been the case, they don't like the name of Jesus. They don't want to hear about the name of Jesus. But to us who believe in Jesus, his name is sweet and precious. In Acts 19:5, the Bible says, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So the name of Jesus affords salvation. That's why it's so appropriate that he be called Jesus, because Jesus means the Savior or Deliverer or Jehovah saves. In Acts 19, we read about some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists who took it upon themselves to call over the demon-possessed the name of Jesus, saying, we exorcise you by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. It says also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest or chief priest, who did this. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overpowered them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. So the name of Jesus has strong effects. It may be positive or it may be negative, but it has strong effects. And it says, this became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. The name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic art, that's witchcraft, brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. You know, I like what they did back then. They realized that you can't take Jesus with one hand and the devil with the other. They realize that you can't take Jesus with one hand and the world with the other. They realize if you're going to follow Jesus, you got to leave some of these sinful things behind. Matter of fact, all of them. And they were people who practiced sorcery or witchcraft, and they had all these books that gave them the recipes for their concoctions and their witches' brews and all these things and their magic spells. And when they believed in Christ, what'd they do? Did they stick their books in the closet and say, we might want to dig them out and go back to them one of these days? No, they didn't. Did they say, well, we'll get them out of the family, we'll take them out to the public square and sell them and let somebody else practice this evil art? No, they didn't. The Bible says when they believed in Christ, they took their books out and burned them in the sight of all men, and the value was 50,000 pieces of silver. Somebody said, boy, that's wasteful. They could have sold that on eBay or whatever. Oh, Abraham had, he started eBay, don't you know? He delivered with camels. But anyway, they knew what to do. They understood without it having to be hammered into their head. They just understood that when you embrace the name of Jesus, you got to let some other things go. And I like that. But I'm not going to go off on that route. On that rabbit trail, as the old country preacher used to say. So the name of Jesus has some strong effects. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're disturbing, and sometimes it makes people angry. People yet today get upset about the name of Jesus. Folks are being forbidden to pray in the name of Jesus in our country today. Did you ever think that would happen in our land? Oh, you can pray in the name of Allah, or you can pray in the name of Muhammad or whatever, but you can't pray in the name of Jesus. Why? That might offend somebody. We get a memo every year. Don't put anything that's reminiscent of Jesus in your Christmas ornaments where I work. It might offend an atheist, or it might offend somebody with another religion. Did you ever think such as that would happen in the land that we love? And even today, the chaplains in the army are forbidden to pray in the name of Jesus. Somebody said, well, what's so great about praying in the name of Jesus? Can't you just pray? Well, Jesus said, ask in my name. John 14:13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. John 14:14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 15:16, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. John 16:23, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. John 16:24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Asking it, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. John 16:26. In that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say that I'll pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you love me, and I believe that I came forth from God. Jesus said what? Six times there. Ask in my name. Name of Jesus. It has authority. It has power. And now we're being told we can't pray in the name of Jesus. It might offend somebody that doesn't believe in Jesus. What if it offends those who do? Oh, well, that don't matter. We can swallow our pride and take it, I guess. Why do people get upset about the name of Jesus? Well, the name of Jesus carries a lot with it. Jesus said in John 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And whenever you infer that Jesus is the only way to go to heaven, that Jesus is the only way to God, you get some people upset. People that worship cows and rats don't like it. People that worship another god or call God by another name and don't believe that Jesus is his son don't like it. The people that even honor God, Jehovah, as being God, but they don't believe in Jesus, they don't like it. Remember the inauguration of President W. Bush, George W., in 2001? They invited Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, the popular evangelist, to offer a prayer at that event. Before he prayed, we're told that someone asked him if he intended to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, yes, and you should do the same. That's all that we as Christians have. And sure enough, he ended his prayer with the words, we pray this in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Lord Jesus Christ and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So he put them all in there. They didn't like it. Some of them didn't. People that didn't believe in Christ didn't like it. In a few days, a lawsuit was filed against President Bush for Franklin Graham's prayer, alleging that it was an unconstitutional endorsement of religion. They were outraged that Graham invoked the name of Jesus. And Graham responded, if you don't want someone to pray in Jesus' name, don't invite an evangelical minister. And when President Barack Obama was inaugurated, he included Muslims and Buddhists and liberal Christians to have a part in the ceremony. One person he asked was Gene Robinson, the openly homosexual bishop whose appointment as bishop caused a split in the Episcopalian and Anglican communities. And according to the news, he was careful not to be especially Christian in his prayer. How about that? He was careful not to be especially Christian in his prayer. Andy Stanley from the North Point Community Church in Georgia was invited to have a part in President Obama's inauguration. And guess what he did? He's one of them old southern hayseeds. You couldn't do much with him, I guess. From the North Point Community Church in Georgia, he ended his prayer, fill them with the love of truth and righteousness and make them ever mindful of their calling to serve the people of this land in honor of you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, he prayed. Amen. I'm proud of him, aren't you? And recently there's been a lot of complaint about chaplains in the military praying in Jesus' name. At least one has been dishonorably discharged for not heeding the request to stop praying in Jesus' name. It's Navy Chaplain Gordon Klingenschmidt. You've probably heard about him in the news. He lost his pension and everything, even though he'd been in long enough to have received one, because he wouldn't stop praying in Jesus' name. The name of Jesus. What's so powerful? What's so strange? What's so disturbing about the name of Jesus? The demons don't like it. The atheists don't like it. The non-Christians don't like it. But we love it, don't we? Somebody say amen. We love the name of Jesus. Was he the only person named Jesus? No. Some people think he was the only person named Jesus. He wasn't. Another Jesus was even mentioned in the New Testament. Colossians 4 and verse 10. Paul says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. With Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions, as he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. So Jesus, who is called Justice, was one of Paul's friends. And in Acts 13:6, now when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. His name was Bar-Jesus. All of you know what that means, don't you? Remember when Jesus called Peter Simon Bar-Jonah in Matthew 16:17? That meant Bar Jonah, meant the son of Jonah. And Bar Jesus meant the son of Jesus. So there's another man named Jesus. As a matter of fact, the New Testament name Jesus is the same name as the Old Testament name Joshua. Just that one's from Hebrew and the other's from Greek. In Stephen's great farewell sermon, because he was about to be stoned to death for preaching it in Acts chapter 7, he said in verse 44, "Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, and as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find the tabernacle, a tabernacle for the God of Jacob." Did they drive out with Jesus back in the Old Testament? No, it was Joshua. And because it was the same name in Greek, that's the King James Version. The translators translated it Jesus because they were used to translating that name as Jesus. Obviously, it was the one that we call Joshua and not the one that we call Jesus. And you get any of the newer translations of the Bible, that's the way it'll have it. It'll have Joshua instead of Jesus. And then again, speaking of Joshua and the children of Israel in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 8, the King James says, "For if Jesus had given them rest, would he not afterward have spoken of another day?" But it was not the Jesus that we know as Jesus that was dealing with the children of Israel back then. It was Joshua. And the New King James Version and most other translations of Hebrews 4:8 says, "If Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day." So what's really unique about Jesus, the name of Jesus? There were other people that had the name, and it's the same name as Joshua. As a matter of fact, though we don't use it in our culture today, a lot of cultures still use the name of Jesus. Spanish people use it, spell it Jesus, but they call it Jesus, I think. Isn't that right, Sheila? Isn't that the way Spanish people pronounce Jesus? Jesus, okay. And Jesus was not the only people that wore that name, so we have to conclude that what's so really noteworthy about Jesus is his personality and what his name represents. In John 8 and verse 34, Jesus said, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Now that says it, doesn't it? If you don't believe I am the one that I claim to be, you'll die in your sins. John 8 and 28, "Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things." And John 13, 19, "Now I tell you before it's come, that when it's come to pass, you may believe that I am he." So it's who he was, not just a technical aspect of Jesus being his name, but it's who he was and who he is. And if you look in your bulletin, you'll see a lot of titles and suggestions that Jesus might be called. Actually, the list is about three times that long, and I didn't have room to put all of them, so I just put one representing each book of the Bible. But Jesus was the bright. He was the bright in the morning star. He's the Alpha and the Omega, and a lot of other titles that he was called. But he's he, and the fact that he is who he is, and that he was who he was, is what brings salvation, and it's what gets unbelievers upset. But what Jesus is called is significant. In John 20 and 26, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, who had been absent at the previous revelation of him after his resurrection, he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. What did Thomas call Jesus? He called him my Lord, signifying Master, and my God, signifying the one I worship. You know, some people don't believe that Jesus is God. They get awfully upset. Muslims get awfully upset if you call Jesus God, because they say that's blasphemy to worship a man. Also, some, I think, Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses get upset about worshiping Jesus because they don't believe in his divinity. But Thomas said, My Lord and my God, and Jesus didn't tell him to shut up and sit down either. No siree. In Hebrews 1:5, For to which of the angels did he, God, ever say, You are my son, today I have begotten you? Talking about Jesus' superiority to angels. And again, I'll be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, Let all the angels of God worship him. Well, God didn't know you weren't supposed to worship Jesus, did he? How about that one? And of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits, King James says ministering spirit, and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son, he says, and I'm reading from the New King James, Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions, or above your fellows, as the King James puts. He's quoting there from Psalms. And he called Jesus God. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. David didn't know Jesus wasn't going to be God, did he? And even God, who inspired David to write that, didn't know that Jesus wasn't supposed to be worshipped. Isaiah 9:6, Unto us is born, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Well, Isaiah didn't know he wasn't going to be God, did he? Matter of fact, God's the one that inspired him to write that. He didn't know it either, did he? And in Isaiah 7:14, Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. In Matthew 1:23, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So something about the name of Jesus. The critics of the Bible will tell you, in being critical of the Bible, they'll say, well, where was Jesus ever called Emmanuel? Well, he was called God with us, wasn't he? Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. It says in the book of Revelation. And Jesus is called God with us. In Titus 2:11, For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, you can get down and burn the books, right? Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. King James says the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The New King James says of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous of good work. King James says peculiar people. Sometimes we read that and think we're supposed to be a bunch of oddballs. That's not exactly what he was saying. Special people. But he said our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. On and on we could go. Revelation 1:7, When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. and I have the keys of Hades and of death. When John tried to worship the angel, what happened? The angel said, "See, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren and the prophets." But when he fell down before the Son, what happened? He wasn't rebuked for it. Acts 3 tells us about Peter and John healing the lame man in the name of Jesus. And then Acts 4 and 5 says it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them, the apostles, in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" You see, they were disturbed about these apostles using the name of Jesus, just like some people are disturbed in our society today about people using the name of Jesus. They got, Jerry Lee Lewis said, they got all shook up. And they want to know, by what power or by what name have you healed this lame man? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he's been made well, let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, by him as this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Well, boy, that's just not politically correct, is it? Can't say that. Any of you ever taught school? Any of you have a school teacher's close friend? Well, I guess I'm not supposed to tell this, but I'm going to tell it anyway. They get literature from the AEA. What's the AEA? It's the American Education Association. It's put out, I guess, by the government, the Department of Education. And they have articles in there about the teacher's salary and their income and their retirement and all these things, and about how the teachers are supposed to behave. And here a while back they came out with an article, and they said, to paraphrase it, they said, a lot of rumors been circulating to the effect that you can't talk about religion in the classroom. This is not entirely factual, that you can't talk about religion in the classroom. What you are strictly prohibited from doing is presenting one religion as being better than the other. You can talk with the kids about what the practices of different religions are, but if you start trying to tell them that one religion is better than the other, or the one that you embrace is better than the others, or one that's right and others are wrong, you're strictly forbidden from doing that. And you know, that's what was the matter with them, with Peter and John. That's why they didn't like that. And that's why they don't like people today. Acts 4 and 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And we as Christians believe that, and it's not politically correct. And it gets people upset. And I hate to tell you this, but I would not be surprised when right here in our own land that we love, that one of these days we'd be prohibited from saying things like that on the airwaves, on the radio and TV. Probably putting it out in printed matter either. In a lot of places it's already happened, and you can have it inside the walls of the church building. That's what they told the chaplain, Klingenschmidt. They said, when you're in your chapel, you can pray in the name of Jesus, but outside those walls, you can't say that Jesus is the one. And I hate to see that happen. But young people, you probably see it. The world keeps spinning. What about it? Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." In Acts 22:16, Ananias asked Saul, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And Acts 4:12 says, "There's salvation in that name, but not in any other." And that's why that other religion is not as good as Christianity, because there's no salvation in it. Have you done that today? Are you clinging to Him? Have you been baptized in His name? If not, we're here to assist you. If you need to do that, we encourage you to come. If you've been a Christian, you've wandered away, or you've let something come between you and the Lord, you need to get it out of the way. You need to burn those books. Don't be pulling them out of the closet. If we can help, we can pray with you, help you in either respect, won't you come while we stand, while we sing?